the Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 22nd, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. We head first to Detroit, where Wayne State University is gearing up to establish an institute for brain health. That's thanks to a $20 million donation.
The Ben L. Silberstein Institute for Brain Health will find its home within Wayne State University's Integrative Biosciences Center under the leadership of Dr. David Rosenberg. He says the institute represents hope for the future of neuroscience and will focus on the understanding of the structure, chemistry, and function of the human brain.
We have a real opportunity to do that and have this institute rise to a place of preeminence where we can do something really special, as well as do a lot of good for a bunch of brain disorders ranging from schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, Parkinson's disease.
She and Tia Hudson reporting.
Now from NBC News, former President Donald Trump has agreed to a $200,000 bond in the Georgia criminal case that charges him with trying to illegally overturn the 2020 presidential election results in that state. NBC reports the orders signed by Fulton County DA Fani Willis and Trump's attorneys say Trump shall perform no act to intimidate any person known to him or her to be a co-defendant or witness in the case, or otherwise to obstruct the administration of justice. Now to Minnesota, where over the next few weeks, kids will be heading back to school. Addiction specialists say now is a good time to address any concerning behavior in their child's online habits.
Dr. Sarah Pauley, a Minnesota-based specialist, says for adolescents, being on social media too much can be harmful because their brains are still developing. So if they've been spending a lot of time online this summer, Pauley says parents need to reestablish healthy habits.
It's really helpful to discuss with your family a media plan that applies to both the children in the family and the parents in the family, with potentially specific time set aside for use of social media or use of the internet not related to completing school assignments.
If your teen becomes combative when asked to limit screen time or is becoming socially withdrawn and only prefers to be online, Pauley says pushing above the three-hour-a-day mark of social media use can put adolescents at greater risk for depression and anxiety. It can also prevent them from getting a good night's sleep, making the back-to-school transition problematic.
And when I ask young people, what are you doing when you're up late at night, nearly 100% of the time they say that they're on their computer, they're using social media, they're watching videos on YouTube, and that can make it really difficult for them to do what they need to do.
I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. As the waters recede from the biggest storm to hit Southern California in decades, lawmakers in Sacramento are considering a bill tomorrow to make schools more resilient.
Senate Bill 394 would require the California Energy Commission to create a statewide plan to help school districts integrate climate resilience and sustainability into their master plans. Andrew Yagoyan is Chief Innovation Officer at 10 Strands, an environmental nonprofit that supports the bill.
The moment of urgency is now. The current students that are in our schools are not even protected, let alone future generations of students. And so this bill is absolutely critical to minimize disruption to school so our kids can actually learn.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Meantime, around the country, people with disabilities are living in institutions who could successfully live in the community with the right support. We get perspective from Missouri.
Attorney M. Jaron Gad with the National Health Law Program says the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services revitalizing enforcement of the ADA and the Olmstead decision shows people are still experiencing this type of discrimination, and they have the right to seek legal recourse.
For people with a range of disabilities, there is a legal mechanism under federal law that entitles them to be served in their homes and in other community-based settings rather than essentially being locked away in institutions.
The Supreme Court's 1999 Olmstead decision affirmed the ADA requires people with disabilities to be served in the most integrated setting appropriate for them. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
Discrimination claims can be filed at the Office of Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Finally, Owen Javier lets us know as Gen Z New Yorkers enter the workforce, their health care needs and concerns vary from previous generations.
Along with differences in their healthcare needs, how people in their teens to mid-20s learn about healthcare options is changing too. While older generations took more expert opinions to heart as they selected their healthcare plans, studies find millennials have been more likely to research online reviews. And for Gen Z, their healthcare concerns are somewhat unique, says Dr. Donald Tavakoli with United Healthcare.
While we know that rates of mental illness were on the rise among adolescents and young adults, the COVID pandemic certainly had an impact, a disruption on social experiences and also health experiences for many people from a physical health side.
One thing Gen Z has in common with most New Yorkers is that they consider price when buying health insurance. One report finds New Yorkers are paying the second highest healthcare premiums in the nation, topped only by Alaska.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member listener supported. Hear us on radio stations big and small. Your favorite podcast platform, find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.